This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
The U.S.'s nearly $40 billion Ukraine aid bill hits a snag in the Senate, plus why a nationwide shortage of baby formula could still take months to resolve, and the White House hones its economic policy message with a focus on bright spots. But will Americans buy it?
What we know right now is that Americans are really concerned about inflation, and you see that in polling data. You see that in surveys of consumers. 76% of Americans say that the economy is getting worse.
It's Friday, May 13th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Elon Musk has tweeted on his verified Twitter account that his deal to buy Twitter is temporarily on hold, pending details on the amount of fake accounts on the social media platform. Shares of Twitter slid in pre-market trade following Musk's tweet. In Ukraine, officials say they have opened talks on evacuating soldiers trapped in the Azovstal steel mill in Mariupol in stages, starting with 38 troops who are severely injured. Meanwhile, the European Union's foreign policy chief, Josep Borrell, says the EU plans to boost funding for Ukraine's military by an additional 500 million euros. And in the U.S., Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul has blocked a bipartisan effort to fast-track a nearly $40 billion Ukraine aid package by objecting to calls to pass the bill by unanimous consent. That will likely push passage of the bill to next week. President Joe Biden has pledged to share COVID-related inventions licensed by the U.S. government to other countries via the World Health Organization. That includes the patent of a technology known as the stabilized spike protein, which is commonly used in multiple COVID-19 vaccines. It's unclear whether patents from vaccine makers Pfizer and partner BioNTech, Johnson & Johnson, or Moderna would be affected. The companies didn't immediately respond to requests for comment. North Korea has reported its first confirmed death from a COVID-19 outbreak that it said for the first time had rapidly spread throughout the country. Pyongyang's state media said Friday that more than 350,000 people contracted a fever that explosively spread nationwide from late April, and that more than 187,000 people are currently being isolated and treated. North Korea hasn't vaccinated its population against the virus. Today, South Korea said it would offer vaccines to its northern neighbor to help with the outbreak. North Korea had no immediate response to the offer. And the price of diesel in the U.S. surged for a 14th consecutive day on Thursday, sending average national retail prices to an all-time high of more than $5.56 a gallon, according to AAA. U.S. diesel prices are now up 56% on the year. In the U.S., diesel is mostly used in trucks, meaning higher prices will add to shipping and delivery costs. Meanwhile, in Europe, wholesale market prices have leapt 85% over the past year, and ongoing diesel availability issues could worsen as sanctions on Russia tighten. A nationwide shortage of infant formula has left American families struggling to locate supplies, and members of Congress calling for inquiries into why shortages that emerged earlier in the pandemic have been difficult to resolve. On Thursday, President Biden spoke with America's largest retailers about the situation, and White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki said the administration was working to ease shortages. However, formula makers and retailers say it could still take months to get formula fully back in stock. WSJ food reporter Annie Gaspareau joins us now with a look at how we got to this point. Annie, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
So Annie, what is leading to this shortage?
We saw a shortage of infant formula in the U.S. in January to a smaller extent, and we were hearing that it was really being driven by pandemic supply chain problems. And then in February, that was just exacerbated to a huge extent because Abbott Labs, which makes Similac. Every parent will be familiar with that brand. It's one of the two big brands in the US, and their largest factory in Michigan had a recall and paused production while the FDA was investigating some issues with a few babies who got sick after consuming their formula. Abbott Labs has not fully resumed production at that factory. And the hole left by this huge brand can't be filled by smaller competitors because there aren't that many factories making infant formula in the US. And these smaller brands just don't have the capacity. And that's because it's such a hard industry for new companies to enter and new manufacturers to enter. The FDA has a lot of safety precautions in place, and it requires a lot of approvals and inspections to be able to manufacture infant formula.
And what is being done now to try and get formula onto shelves?
You know, I've spoken to several smaller infant formula brands who are doing everything that they can to make more. I've also spoken with the FDA and the Similac manufacturers, Abbott. They are doing everything they can, and that includes the FDA relaxing some of the requirements for importing infant formula. And the smaller brands have been telling me this is a real problem with the high concentration of the market in the US. The Similac and Enfamil families really just make up the vast majority of market share for infant formula in the US. And when you have a big crisis, you really see the challenges that it creates having such market concentration.
That was WSJ food reporter Annie Gasparo. Annie, thanks for the update.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Coming up, President Biden hopes to convince Americans to focus on what the White House calls economic bright spots amid surging inflation. But will that work? We've got that story after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
President Biden is seeking to reassure Americans about the state of the U.S. economy. But how can he do that against a backdrop of inflation trending near a four-decade high, eroding consumer confidence, and growing risk of recession in the next year? WSJ Economics reporter Amara Omokwe joins us now with more. Amara, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
You are reporting on the economic message that President Biden is planning to use to try and reassure Americans this year about the state of the economy. What exactly is that message?
So the White House and the president, they're taking a three-pronged approach to communicating with Americans about the state of the economy. And I talked to a senior White House official about this. The first part of the strategy is emphasizing economic bright spots. So the White House, for example, will point to the fact that we have a very low unemployment rate, that we have added a lot of jobs from the very big downturn we saw in the labor market at the beginning of the pandemic. They'll point to the fact that households are sitting on a lot of savings. So in a sense, household balance sheets are very strong. So they're pointing to those kinds of positive economic indicators to make the point that the economy is progressing well and recovering well from the lower down points in the pandemic. The strategy also includes emphasizing what the administration says it is doing to try and address inflation. Obviously, we have inflation at the highest level in several decades, and the administration wants to demonstrate that it is taking action on that, and they have announced several different plans and action items that they're taking to what they say will help lower costs for American families. And then the last part of their messaging strategy is to contrast President Biden's economic policy agenda from that of Republicans, basically arguing that President Biden's economic plans would help American families rather than hurt them And they say that some of the Republican plans would hurt American families.
And what are economists telling you about how well these economic bright spots actually reflect the health of Americans' finances?
Well, if you talk to economists, they will say that the economy does have a lot of strong points. Whether you look at the labor market, you can look at wages and see how much wages have accelerated. You can look at household balance sheets. Those kinds of indicators, economists say, really do reflect an economy that is recovering well and that does have a lot of momentum. So economists do see a lot of strong points in the economy. But the question is, what will those strong points mean for what the Federal Reserve is trying to do to bring down inflation? So Americans are sitting on more than $2 trillion worth of accumulated savings in excess of what was the pre-pandemic trend. But there are some signs when you look at the personal savings rate, for instance, that people are beginning to dip into that cushion, maybe because of inflation, because they're seeing higher prices for some of those everyday items like grocery and gas and rent. Perhaps Americans are starting to dip into those savings to help them get by.
What is the administration saying about the elements of President Biden's economic policy agenda that are aimed at fighting inflation? And what has the Republican response been so far?
Well, the White House has a laundry list of things that it is doing to try and ease inflationary pressures. They talk about, for instance, working on supply chain issues, working with the ports to try and get goods through the ports more quickly. They talk about trying to boost domestic manufacturing so that we can have more production of some of these products that have really been caught up in supply chain issues throughout the course of the pandemic, semiconductors, for instance. They have tapped the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to try and increase the supply of energy that's out there in the economy. They have a laundry list of things that they are doing. The problem is, if you talk to most economists, they will say that those measures are not likely to have a big impact on inflation, particularly in the short term. And Republicans have really continued to hammer the Biden administration despite all these efforts and initiatives that the administration has announced. Republicans continue to go back to the roughly $2 trillion COVID aid package that Democrats and President Biden really pushed for last year. And they argue that that package was way too big and that it overheated the economy. And that is why we are having the inflation that we have today. Now, Democrats and President Biden will counter and say that that package actually gave families a lot of support and helped sort of propel the economic recovery that we have today. But Republicans have really, really just hammered the president on that point.
And Amara, finally, how well is this communications approach likely to go over with the American public?
Well, it remains to be seen. But what we know right now is that Americans are really concerned about inflation. And you see that in polling data. You see that in surveys of consumers. For instance, a Gallup poll that was conducted in April found that 76% of Americans say that the economy is getting worse. And I was talking to an economist who advises Republicans in Congress, and he was saying one of the reasons he thinks that inflation is overshadowing other economic bright spots is because it is something that people feel so personally in everyday circumstances. When people go to the grocery store, they go fill up their tank, they are seeing that the prices are higher, and that could just resonate with people more than, say, these macroeconomic indicators that show, yes, the labor market is doing well, yes, unemployment is down. Yes, households writ large have a lot of savings. Inflation for many people is just this really personal problem.
That was WSJ economics reporter Amara Omokwe. Amara, thank you so much for bringing us this story.
Thank you.
And finally, have you ever looked at a dog and thought you had a sense of its personality just by knowing its breed? Well, your assumptions may have been wrong. According to a study published in the journal Science and based on a survey of more than 18,000 owners and more than 2,000 dog genomes, researchers say that breed is responsible for less than one-tenth of differences in dogs' behavior, with breed being more predictive of traits like ear shape or howl, but not a very accurate indicator of a dog's obedience or impulsiveness. WSJ Health and Science reporter Renee Onkwe says the findings suggest it's your relationship with your dog that matters.
Something the main study author said was that you probably know your dog's behavior better than anyone else, and you shouldn't let your dog's breed change the way that you view them because your dog is unique. And also shouldn't try to buy a specific breed because you think they'll be best for this certain thing, which was another big takeaway. Just see what animal individually you gravitate towards and just allow your interactions with them to determine how you feel about them.
And that's What's News for Friday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.